My name is Ron. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering know-it-all. Joe, thank you again for asking me. This is quite a privilege. I do go to Disneyland every week, and I get to share program with cast members. I also get to thank cast members who are almost never thanked, and that's custodial. And I get the privilege of going up and saying, I want to thank you for the wonderful job you're doing in helping to keep the magic alive. And they respond in two ways. They either in shock, because they're expecting me to ask them, where's the nearest bathroom? How do I get to this attraction? Or I'm not happy and I want to complain. And here I am complimenting them. Or they say, sir, you have no idea how badly I need to hear that. This I all learned from program, and I'm very, very grateful. My top weight was 198 pounds, and my bottom weight, because I became anorexic coming into program, because I have a disease of more, was 125 pounds. Both compulsive overeating and anorexia for me are control issues. And I became a psychotherapist because I believed that if I could analyze my life well enough, I could change it and control it. And the only thing I got out of analysis was a well-defined problem. I did not find any answers until I came into this program. I have 41 years of back-to-back abstinence, thanks to my willingness to work the steps, attend a lot of meetings, reach out to people, sponsor people, and turn my life daily over to a power greater than myself. I was born and raised in a quite a dysfunctional family in Los Angeles. We were what I would consider a lower middle class family. We could not afford to go to May Company or Broadway, which were higher end stores. We had to go to Sears. And because I was overweight, we had to go into the Husky department, which was terribly demoralizing. Because of all of the dysfunction that was going on in my family, I found that food made me feel better. And so I would steal it and as much as I could. Because I was overweight, my parents had me put me on diets. I went to HCG. Which were, I think, shots from pregnant women or something, and they put you on 600 calories to tell you how insane I was. Never dawned on me that if I ate 600 calories without the shots, I would have lost weight. I was on Weight Watchers. I was on uppers and downers, every imaginable diet, and I lost on all of them only to regain it. I was in 1979, I was going back up again, and I got to a point where the diets were not working. I didn't know what to do. And I really lost the ability that when I started eating my binge foods, there was no way that I could stop without eating them all and then maybe wanting to get more. I had no idea that this was a disease. I was just looking for a diet, called up a relative of mine, and I said, I can't stop eating compulsively. She said, why don't you go to OA? And OA for me was Order of the Arrow in the Boy Scouts, and I could not figure out how I was going to lose weight in the Boy Scouts. And she said, no, it's Overeaters Anonymous. When I was in graduate school, we had AA come and speak to us, but there were no eating disorders And I guess nobody thought of inviting someone from OA to come speak to us. So I started going to 10 o'clock morning meetings, OA meetings, face-to-face, at what we called the Darby office in the San Fernando Valley where I live. And the people were so loving and so caring. And they just made me feel very welcome. We did something that I didn't realize until later. We played cheap group therapy and a game called Can You Top This? So our morning meetings were not talking about recovery. We read the steps, but we never talked about them. We never talked about higher power. All we did was bitch and moan about somebody in our life. And then some of us would go to lunch and bitch and moan about people in the meeting. And I thought that was recovered. We had gray sheet, blue sheet, and orange sheet in those days. And I was looking for the diet, so I got the gray sheet. And that was no sugar, no flour, I believe. And they said something about getting a food sponsor. So I went up to this woman and I said, would you be my food sponsor? And she said, call me every day. We didn't have cell phones. And tell me what you're going to eat. And I can follow directions. So I called every morning and I told her what I was going to eat. It never dawned on me to change my food. I have a disease of perfectionism, so I was gonna do it well. The morning meetings helped me in a lot of ways. They taught me that if I buy something and I don't like it or it's not working for me, that I can actually take it back. I would never do that, but the people in those rooms taught me that I could do that. And they taught me a lot of things. What they didn't teach me was recovery. And that was okay because I wasn't ready for recovery. And after 1984, a woman came up to me and she said, in the big book, on page 133, it says, God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. You do not look happy, joyous, and free. And I said, I'm not. She said, you need to go to an AA meeting. And I said, an AA meeting? They drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol unless it has an umbrella. I want the sugar. I don't want the effect. But I followed directions, and I went to a noon AA meeting. They talked for an hour and a half about what they were not going to do. They were not going to drink for an hour and a half. In OA, we didn't do that. We played cheap group therapy. Can you top this? And this was very foreign to me. And she said to me, what did you think of the meeting? And I said, oh, they talk about something they're not going to do for an hour and a half. God shot number one. She said, why don't you listen to the similarities instead of the dissimilarities? I did not even know I was doing it, but I was. Came back, went to the OA meeting at 10 in the morning. I went to the 12 o'clock AA meeting, and I heard somebody say, I can act my way into good thinking, but not think my way into good actions. And I became a psychotherapist because I figured that I could think my way into recovery. And now this man is saying that I can act my way into recovery, not think my way into recovery. This same woman came up to me and said, in the big book on page 133, it says that God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, and you don't look happy, joyous, and free. She said, happy is defined as living without fear. Joyous is living in gratitude, and free is free of the obsession. And she said, what did you think of the meeting? And I said, well, it's very different than what we do. And she said, you need a fourth step sponsor. Now, I had two other people in OA take me through the steps, one in an hour, and the other one took me through the steps in 2 or 3 hours, and I got nothing out of it. And she said, you need a fourth step sponsor. Never heard of that. I heard of a step sponsor, our food sponsor, but never a four step sponsor. And I just looked at her and I said, there is no one in OA that has what I want. Didn't seem to phase her at all. God shot number two. She said, who frightens you the most in this room? Not who has what you want, because I would go with somebody that was driving a Mercedes or a Jaguar. And I said, that bully over there named Captain Serenity, she said, go ask him to be your sponsor. I said, you have a death wish for me. This guy is a street thug. She said, I think he's a teddy bear. So I called him on the phone and I said, Captain, I'd like to ask you to be my sponsor. He said, are you an alcoholic? He's so loving. And I went, no. He said, what are you? I said, I'm a compulsive overeater. He said, oh, I don't sponsor them. They're sick. I said, okay, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. He said, okay, I want you to call me every day. And he said, we are going to study the big book. We are not going to read the big book. He said, on the very first page, it says that this is a text for Alcoholics Anonymous. And a text is something you study, not read. He said, your opinion has not helped anybody deal with the disease of compulsive overeating, but the big book has helped hundreds of thousands of people recover from their own diseases. So he had me read a half a page a day and underline one main idea. That drove me crazy, because I wanted to do more and more and more. And he said, nope, we're only doing a half a page. He also said, take your big book with you at every meeting and listen for one good idea and write it in your big book. He said, and only one idea. And I said, well, for what reason? One idea. He said, well, if you're compulsive like me, you'll hear one good idea and you'll say, oh my God, I love that. Then you'll hear another good idea and you'll say, oh my God, I love that too. And Tom said to me, recovery does not come from what we learn or study. It's what we practice. So he said, we're going to keep it simple. Just listen for one idea and write it down in the big book. It just so happens, because I had done that for years, that 8 years ago, I was invited to lead a workshop in Edmonton, Canada. And I wanted to include a handout and I didn't know what to do. And I said to God, what kind of a handout that would be of value can I do? And God said to me, go through your big book and type out all of the additional sentences that you have learned from different meetings. And I did that. It was 14 pages. And I sent it up there and they made copies for everybody. The idea that I could find answers, the only answer I knew to problems was to eat. And now through program, I started hearing, for instance, the three P's in program are perfectionism leads to procrastination, which leads to paralysis. And that was very, very true. And he said, nothing is perfect. Maybe a higher power is perfect, but we are not expected to be. And we need to let go of this idea of perfectionism. It will kill us. And very, very true. I am so grateful that I have learned very, very slowly to let go of perfectionism. Tom used to say to me, if you had a bow and arrow and you pointed at the target, would you hit the center? And I said, no. He said, if you aimed for the upper right-hand corner, would you hit the center? And I said, no. And he said, that's all the program is about. Aiming at the bullseye, but we're not going to hit it most of the time, and we don't need to worry about it. Tom said the two most important words in the English language are, so what? He said, we need to give ourselves a break. This is a program of loving ourselves back to recovery, not beating ourselves. And I have the privilege to sponsor people, and I am often reminding them we need to be loving to ourselves. It is no big deal that we made a mistake. So what? I remember I was rereading and restudying the Big Book, and I thought the Big Book said that the fourth column was that I was supposed to look at what horrible things I did, or horrible things, whatever. And when I reread the Big Book, all it says is, we look for our mistakes. And I went, isn't that interesting? A mistake is not such a big deal. If I'm practicing an instrument and I make a mistake, so what? I practice it again. There seems to be less judgment for me when I look at things that I do as a mistake, instead of that I one more time, you know, did a horrible thing or whatever. I started sponsoring early. I did food sponsoring because I really had not gone through the steps. And one by one, everybody dropped me, and nobody asked me for 36 years. And the reason is because God wanted me to learn an important lesson about listening differently. When I was sponsoring early on, I felt my job was to fix you, to change you, to help you prevent feeling feelings. And it took me 36 years to learn that sponsorship is only helping someone go through the 12 steps so that they can find a power greater than themselves of their choosing and their own answers to their own problems, not my answer. My job is to help them maybe look at a situation differently, but not give them answers. And I heard in Al-Anon, do not share experience, strength, and hope, or give my opinion, or say anything, unless there's a question mark at the end of a sentence. Most of the time, there are no question marks. And as I said, it took me 36 years to learn to listen without trying to fix or take away your feelings. People have a right to their own pain, and I have no right to take it away. My sponsor used to say, I want you to do something for someone else and not get found out. That was very difficult because my head said, which is the Big Book tells me on page 23, that my disease centers mainly in my mind. And my head said, well, it's only worthwhile if it can be put on the 11 o'clock news. So try to find a child in a burning building when you need one. Doesn't happen. So I found a coffee cup at the AA club, and I washed it and I put it away. And Tom said to me that night, what did you do for someone and not get found out? And I said, I was so embarrassed. I washed a cup and I put it away. He said, good, do something differently tomorrow. I said, Tom, you don't understand. Your job is to tell me, to shame me, to tell me I did it wrong. And he said, you know, Ron, you would never allow anybody to treat you as badly as you treat yourself. He says, that is not the job of a sponsor. He said, my job is to help and love you till you can love yourself. I had no idea what that meant. I was raised that I was abused, and then I was told that I was abused because they loved me. And Tom said to me, look in the dictionary under love. And I looked in the dictionary and it said a strong concern for another human being. That was a shocker. As I worked more and more with this incredible man, he taught me wonderful things. I have a tendency to compare myself to other people. And I shared that with Tom. And he said, do you know what you're doing? And I said, no. He said, you're comparing your outsides to their insides. You have no idea what's going on inside somebody unless they tell you. So I said, well, what's recovery? He said, comparing yourself to where you were, to where you are today. And I'm much better today than I was a few days ago. Let's see. One of the things that I found very difficult, but also literally saved my life, and that was the power of forgiveness. Tom said to me as we went through the steps, the people that have harmed you, that we talked about in 4 and 5, and your character defects, you need to forgive. And I said, I am not going to forgive them. They hurt me so badly. And he said, well, that you have that right, but you're giving them free rent in your head. They, most of the time, don't even know that they hurt your feelings. And they're not walking around upset, but you are. He said, what I've learned in program is one of the ways to cut the umbilical cord of that person controlling me is by forgiving them. And he said, the most important person that I need to forgive is myself. This has taken many, many, many years, but I'm not interested in graduating. And I slowly, he says to me, you don't have to even believe it. You just have to do it. I remember I used to say to him when he would say, he'd ask me to do something and I'd say, well, I don't like that. He said, well, you don't have to like it. You just need to do it. So I learned from this man that most of the time, it's probably a better idea not to listen to my brain. My brain sometimes tells me it's the disease of my mind says, oh, you don't want to get up and do your exercises, your prayer and meditation, your 10th step and send it to your sponsor. And what I do is I just say, well, thank you for sharing. I get down on the floor and I do my exercises. I have never been into exercises in my life. And 8 years ago, I started doing planking. And planking is getting in a push-up position and just holding it. And I utilized what I learned in program. Keep it simple, sweetheart. So I did one plank for 1 second. And that just had to be enough. Tom taught me some effort is better than no effort at all. It's not what I was raised with. My dad said to me, if you can't do it right, don't do it. So I used to give up. But in recovery, Tom is saying some effort is better than no effort at all. So I did 1 second of planking. And the next day, I did another second. And the day after that, I did 2 seconds. And for a while, I was doing 4 minutes a day, and I've cut it back to 2 minutes a day. I also do push-ups and sit-ups and exercises that I would never have done before. I kiddingly tell people that I don't have a six-pack stomach. I don't have a four-pack stomach. I don't even have a snack-pack stomach. But I know, even though I don't necessarily see the benefit, I know that it's good for me, even if it's for doing it for practice. Because my head said that if I don't see a benefit, I'm not going to do it. And that's my disease. I don't do that anymore. So whether my mind wants me to do it or not, I get up, I get on the floor, I do my exercises, I do my prayer and meditation, I do a 10-step, I do a gratitude list in my 10-step, I send it off to my sponsor. Years ago, I would edit my 10-step. And I was in a meeting one day, and I heard someone say, I need to find one person that I can tell anything to. They're not going to judge me. They're not going to fix me. They're not going to shame me. They're not going to embarrass me. They're just going to love me. And I thought, what do I believe about my sponsor that I'm editing my 10-step? So I decided I was just going to send everything, no editing, and nothing changed. And I just said, thank you, God. I remember I said to Tom, you know, I get embarrassed when people compliment me. And he said, well, all you have to do is say to yourself, thank you, God. Because the credit needs to be given to God. We are only the mouthpiece of God if we're talking recovery. He told me that in AA, a lot of speakers talk about what it was like, what it was like, and what it was like. And he said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to talk about what it was like, what happened, and how little you've changed. He has a great sense. He had a great sense of humor. Sadly, he's passed away. This program has literally changed my life. I live happy, joyous, and free most of the time. I work 10, 6, and 7 a lot, because what I learned is 10, I become aware of what character defects are going on. And in 6, I ask God to help me accept whatever the character defect is, and I don't have to like it. I just need to accept it. And in 7, I ask God to remove it. I relax, and I see how I can be of benefit to somebody else. This is not what I did before. Before, it was always what's in it for me. And much of the time, you know, on page 20 in the big book, it says our very lives as ex-problem eaters depends upon our constant thought of others and how we can help meet their need. Not their wants, their needs. And I asked Tom, there is nothing I can do constantly except think about me. And all he said was, can you think about somebody else for 5 minutes out of the day? I said, yeah, I can do that. That's all that's required. I remember when I did my 4th and 5th step with Tom, nothing happened. I did not feel any release. I didn't feel, you know, that the clouds opened up or rainbows. And I called his wife, who had 8 more years of sobriety than he did. And I said, Donna, I don't think I got anything out of my 4th and 5th step. She said, well, were you willing to look for a job before you did your 4th and 5th step? And I said, no. She said, were you willing to look for a job after you did your 4th and 5th step? I said, yes. She said, "That's what you got." I said, "I don't want that." She said, "Ron, sometimes you just get what you get." And this is such an incredible, absolutely incredible gift. I started 8 years ago this daily recovery email. I send it out to 75 people. They send it out to other people. And it's just things that I've heard in meetings that I write down. And it's another way of me working step 12. I go to a face-to-face meeting almost every weekday. And because I'm not an alcoholic, I've been going to that meeting since 1984. They sometimes will call on me and I say, "My name is Ron. I'm in another 12-step program. I have 41 years of recovery thanks to OA, AA, and Captain Serenity, and I pass." And it's just wonderful. The recovery that I hear from these wonderful people is amazing. And they've never asked me to not write down what they're saying. And I get to share it with others that maybe this information can be of help. It certainly has been helpful to me. Once in a while, I'll get an email from somebody that receives my daily email, and they'll say, "Thank you. I needed to hear what you wrote. How did you know?" And all I do is I write back and I said, "God." It is such a gift to be able to turn my life and my will over to the care of God's will on a daily basis. And I don't have to do it perfectly. I take it back. I get back into control. But I don't hold it as long as I used to. This program is such a gift. I heard somebody say that what program and recovery gives us is a chance at a good life. It does not guarantee us a good life, but it gives us a chance. And my life is so undramatic because I was willing to work the steps and just keep coming back, going to a lot of meetings. I go to a lot of OA meetings on Zoom. I go to 5 AA meetings a week, face-to-face. I'm on permanent vacation, so I can do that. I go to Disneyland on Sunday, and I get to share recovery with cast members. This is a gift. Absolutely a gift. The fact that so many people that are my age have so many illnesses and I don't have any illnesses at all. And I have the privilege to go visit every 2 weeks a doctor who is 104. And at 97, he started learning about alternative medicine. And when I go there to give to him, he teaches me about the alternative medicine of vitamins and minerals that he's learned about. And it gives him a good feeling to talk about what he learned. And I happen to believe it anyway, but what a wonderful opportunity to listen to him and give him the respect to just listen. And I'm telling you, this program is absolutely a gift. I hope I said something of value. If not, keep coming back. This program is absolutely a miracle. And I just feel very privileged that Joe asked me to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate it. You're always wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Ron, would you answer some questions if there have any?
About Disneyland?
Yes. Or anything?
Or about, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments or would like to share? Okay.
You were terrific, Ron. It was wonderful to listen to you. Really, and I just said something at, I'm sorry, I didn't raise my hand, oops. But I just, I said something at this a meeting that I went to this morning that it's just a pleasure for me to like learn about the people whose meetings I go to and that I really love. And it just was a treat to know a little bit more about who you are. Thank you.
Jess?
Hi, I'm Jess, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your share. Sorry, that was my timer. Thank you so much for the share. That was fantastic. I was hoping I might be able to ask a question, actually, Ron. What you learned in the program of being gentle and loving yourself and your sponsor loving you into recovery, how do you connect that to your food program? I've been in OA since last summer and struggled with like the extreme food plans versus not extreme. And that sort of led me to more relapse. So that was my question, if we are allowed to, in fact, ask questions. Thank you.
You are. Thank you. I don't really have an answer. I was one of the people that God removed the obsession very quickly, and it's never returned. I share with people that have problems with their particular eating plan is they need to find an eating plan that works for them, but does not trigger them. And getting a food sponsor that is willing to work with you the way you need to be worked with is very helpful. Some people need, you know, directions, do this, do this, this, and this. And other people don't. They need to find their own answers to finding their own abstinence that is comfortable for them. Not everybody has their obsession removed. As you might or might not know, Dr. Bob, his obsession took 2.5 years before God removed his obsession. My obsession was removed immediately. But I do talk to people that have that issue, and I keep telling them, put the baseball bat down. Beating ourselves only causes me to want to compulsively eat more. And so hopefully I am a sponsor to the men that I work with that works for them. And that's really all I can share.